Hi guys, why not head to my official online store now? Shop at asmr1.com to check out the official AB1 leisurewear line as well as some goalkeeping products. Use the code SOS for 10% discount of all products on our website. Also, make sure you follow our social media pages for regular updates and to keep up with the latest products. Thank you guys for your support as always. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Season of Sports with me, Asmir Begovic, and my amazing sidekick and producer, Rachel Humphries. How are you, Rachel?
That was a very nice intro, Asmir. Thank you. Yes, I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. Great to be back on set. Great to be back doing another episode of our podcast. So great to be here, and I'm looking forward to our episode because we're going to be talking NFL.
This is your favorite, isn't it? Like, week 42 of the season, things are getting really exciting.
Yeah, exactly. We've got the final playoff push and then the playoffs coming up. And we have U.S. sports analyst Steve Edwards joining us. He's going to be a great guest. So I'm looking forward to chatting to him, getting his thoughts, talking about his Dolphins.
I think the word I would use is just a mess.
I mean, dude, they're not even that good this year. So, but I'm sure he'll want to talk about them. We'll finish off with a huddle.
Yes.
On this episode, and that'll do for us. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the show and Steve later on. But before we get into that, I'm going to get some thoughts across in the last couple of weeks of sporting events, and one of the most exciting news, actually, and I'm a golfer when I can, a big golf fan.
You're a good golfer.
No, I'm not a good golfer.
Okay.
No, I'm not a good golfer. I wouldn't go that far. The return of Tiger Woods. So
yes.
I think that's been...
How long has he been away then? It's been quite a while, isn't it?
Pretty much a year. I think he played his last tournament in January this year, and then he had this huge back surgery, and he was struggling with that. And he returned this past week at the Hero World Challenge, which is actually his own tournament. So it's
wow.
An exhibition, glorified exhibition tournament. But he had some amazing players, obviously the world's best players, come and support his event. And he got through all four rounds, finished with a score of 8 under, three rounds in the 60s, which was pretty cool. So I think all golf fans like myself are just keeping their fingers crossed that he can stay healthy and compete on the PGA Tour on a regular basis, because I think that the game needs him, the game wants to have him there. I think all fans love him. So it'd be great for him to have a good period of good health, really. So
it must be tough to come back, you know, after that, and so nerve-wracking, and there's such a lot of pressure because everyone's watching you. But I suppose it's his own event, you know, he can kind of ease into it.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a bit less pressure on it. He knows the course really well. So it was a perfect event for him to get back into it. Now, I'm sure he'll take the rest of the year off and plan a schedule for 2018, which is exciting. But good for him. He's been one of those golfers who's just absolutely ruined his body. I mean, not many golfers ruin their bodies. They do have, you know, shoulder, elbow, back things, but he's had everything. Knees as well. I think he's had reconstructive knee surgery. So he's put his body through the works, which is crazy for a golfer, but it happens. So
yeah, it never strikes me as being a lot of movement in golf. It's just, you know, a little bit of a swing.
Yeah.
You know.
No, it's more physical than you think. It's more physical than you think. But the next thing I want to move on is college football. The NCAA have released their final four teams, the 14 playoff. The ranking have been official. Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama are in, as well as Georgia, who won the SEC championship. So we put a tweet out there about the college football playoffs, as well as a Facebook post, and you guys got in touch with us. And I think the main uproar was the four spot between Ohio State and Alabama as to who got in. And they thought everyone thought, oh, Ohio State should be in instead of Alabama. Alabama only had one loss, but they didn't play as tough of a schedule. And I think it was a difficult one for the committee. I don't think there was a great choice. I think there were some average teams that they were making the case for, and I think maybe Bama on reputation got in. But Ohio State lost by over 30 to Iowa, and I think that sort of a loss, no matter what time of the season, is unforgivable for the committee, and that's what, at the end of the day, I think cost them and got Alabama in there. So I'm looking forward to the playoffs, see what happens there, who becomes the national championship. If I had to bet, it's difficult to bet against Alabama, so I'll go for them to win the national championships and Nick Saban. So go from there. Also, baseball free agency, big month coming ahead, up ahead. Obviously, the big fish, as we talked about before, is Giancarlo Stanton. Still unsure where he's going to go. So I think once he decides, or once the Miami Marlins decide what to do with him, that'll kick off the market. Go from there. My New York Yankees have a new manager in Aaron Boone.
Yeah, that's been a big story.
Yeah, that's been huge. First-time manager,
yeah,
replacing Joe Girardi, who's been there for the past 10 seasons. So Brian Cashman, the general manager, made the decision in Aaron Boone. So I'm excited for him. He's obviously Yankee legend for that Game 7 home run that he hit, which was amazing. And then at the end of the day, I think He has great communication skills. I think he'll relate to the younger players and be a huge success for the Yankees. And what about the England women's soccer team? Football team, yeah. Sorry. Two good wins.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, against Bosnia and Kazakhstan.
You take that one, you know, with a pinch of salt. But
yeah, our women's team, unfortunately, are improving, but not the best in the world. So, yeah, those are the things that have been happening the last couple of weeks since we last came on. So, those caught my eye, and we'll move into some NFL talk. So, with the NFL season hotting up, we wanted to talk about it all. And with week 14 in the books, Steve Edwards joining me now, U.S. sports analyst, host of the Balls, Bats, and Pucks podcast. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm doing really well. It's great to be talking NFL with you and in the run-up to the playoffs.
Absolutely. It's a great time to be an NFL fan and follow the sport. With January around the corner, the playoffs around the corner, we thought it would be a great time to talk some NFL. So we're happy to have you on. And the first thing I wanted to start with, and I think it's been one of the biggest talking points recently, and we can't get away from it, is obviously the New York Giants. The recent benching of Eli Manning, which resulted in them, funny enough, at this time of recording, we know the result of the game after that, them losing to the Oakland Raiders 24-17. Ended in Ben McAdoo, the head coach, being fired, Jerry Reese, the general manager, being fired, and them obviously losing that game. So it's been an absolute mess. Eli looks to be starting once again. What do you make of that whole situation? I mean, it's just an incredible situation for such a storied franchise that we associate nothing but class with that being the New York Giants.
I think for me, it's a really interesting one because, as you say, they're very much a storied franchise. They've had two recent Super Bowl victories under Eli Manning. Eli Manning had started 210 games in a row, and then to all of a sudden make a decision that you're going to move away from Eli and go to Geno Smith. There's been a lot of talk in the locker room about maybe there being some dissension there about them not actually wanting McAdoo to be coach. Then there's people in there that are just generally not happy. Obviously, the Giants season hasn't gone well, but for me, I think this goes back to when Coughlin was coach. I think Coughlin was there and he'd taken the team on this run, and I don't think they knew how they were going to move on from Coughlin once he was ultimately going to go. They couldn't fire him, so they had to kind of keep him around until such time as he did eventually walk away. And then they obviously had a good season, and then, of course, the expectations are going to higher. And I think, again, something we'll probably talk on later on about the Dolphins is that I think having a season where I think they overachieved last year obviously didn't help them going into this season. And then this season has been an absolute train wreck. And as you say, they're now going back to Manning, it looks like, this weekend. Geno Smith has kind of been the guy that's going to be the sacrificial lamb through all of this. We knew what Geno was about. He, for me, is not a great quarterback. He wasn't a great. He didn't play particularly well when he was part of the Jets system. And now we've seen McAdoo and Jerry Reese lose their jobs as well. It's just an absolute mess.
It's incredible. And for a franchise that we associate, like I said earlier, nothing but the best with, if this was a Cleveland Browns maybe or something like that, you would associate chaos. But not the New York Giants. They handle their business. And to give the news to Eli Manning, like you said, 210 straight games, two Super Bowls, to give him the news in this manner, throw him out to the press literally minutes after in tears, was just one of the most classless acts I've ever seen. And that's something you saw, the dimension between the head coach, general manager, and the owner, and the owner's family, the Mara family, wasn't in sync. And, you know, I wasn't surprised that he got fired. I wasn't surprised Jerry Reese got fired. And just an incredible mess of a situation. Like you said, it wasn't even for maybe an up-and-coming rookie, a hot shot, high-round draft pick. It was for Geno Smith. I mean, we know what Geno Smith can do in the NFL, what he's already played there. And even if they gave the reins to Davis Webb, maybe I could understand it more. But it was just one of those situations where you couldn't explain why they had to go. Now, they lose to Oakland. They have to play the Dallas Cowboys on national TV, where they have to going to have 70,000, 80,000 people there in Eli Manning shirt. So now he has to play again. Otherwise, the whole crowd will boo them and the whole atmosphere will be intolerable. So it's definitely a lesson into how not to run your team or your franchise. So very disappointing from the Giants all around, in my opinion. And like you said, it wasn't for someone who they drafted or see as the quarterback of the future. They put in Geno Smith. I mean, it's incredible. But, yeah, we'll see what decisions they make. They usually let their general manager run the show, so I think they will hire a general manager first before they hire a coach in the off season. So we'll go from there. But, you know, it's playoff time almost, Steve. So I think that's the main thing I want to kind of focus in on is the race for the playoffs. Who will get in? Who will not get in? What teams you like and what teams you don't like the look of? And I'll start with the AFC. I think that's a little bit more straightforward. My team, the Patriots, and your team, the Dolphins, are obviously in the AFC. It seems like there's the two clear-cut teams at the top of the AFC, the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers at 10-2 now. And then you have a little bit of a gap between the other teams, Tennessee at 8-4, obviously, and Jacksonville at 8-4 from the AFC South. And then the AFC West is very average at the moment with Kansas City 6-6, LA Chargers 6-6, and same with the Oakland Raiders. How do you see the AFC playing out here in the last 4 weeks of the season?
I think it's going to be interesting, isn't it? I mean, if you want to start at the top, the Steelers and the Patriots are both at 10-2. I mean, the Steelers had this close game where they beat Cincinnati on Monday Night Football. The Patriots, as expected, easily handled the Buffalo Bills. But I think we're zoning in on that big Week 15 matchup between the Steelers and the Patriots, which we think will probably ultimately decide who's going to be the number one seed coming out of the AFC. I think you have to look at these two teams as the teams are going to get the first round bye. I think the Steelers may very well be the number one seed, but and the Patriots don't necessarily need to be the number one seed. We know what the Patriots are about. They're just about a team that's going to get to the playoffs and do their thing come playoff time. If you want me to put my neck on the line and say any other team apart from New England is going to be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl, I'm not going to do that. I have the Patriots going to the Super Bowl at the AFC. Everything else, you've got the Titans and the Jags. That's going to be interesting exactly how that goes down because it will be ultimately decide which one of those two teams will have a home matchup in that first round of the playoffs. And I think for me, I think the Titans might just have the edge there. Although Jacksonville, for us to be talking about them being a really good franchise right now, it's great to see, obviously, from a UK standpoint, because every team that comes over here every year. And we're actually talking about them in 2017 being a playoff team. And I think they've got a very good defense. I think the thing that's holding them back for me is Blake Bortles. I just don't rate him as a quarterback in the NFL. That, for me, is the biggest hindrance against them. In terms of everything else, you've then got the AFC West scenario where you've got the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Raiders are all at 6-6. Now, which one of those three teams is ultimately going to win that division? You've got a lot of in-house games going for the rest of the season. You've got the Raiders at Kansas City next week. They've got to go to the Chargers as well. The Chargers are at KC, but they've got the Raiders. They've got KC in KC. Kansas City have got the Raiders and the Chargers at home and in Miami. I think Kansas City have got the edge here.
You don't like the Chargers? I actually love the Chargers. I think if there's a dark horse in the AFC, it's the LA Chargers.
I don't necessarily, it's not I don't like them. What I like about the matchups going the rest of the way is the fact that KC have that home advantage. Have I got confidence in Alex Smith? No, I don't. If we were talking earlier on in the season, Kansas City for me were one of those teams we thought, oh yeah, okay, this could be a team that could really go far in the AFC. They're not that team anymore. But for me, when you get to the latter part of the season, you want those home games. And obviously, I think that it's all going to come down starting off this week, where you've got the Raiders against the Chiefs. Obviously, I fancy the Chargers to beat Washington at home, but then they've then got to go into KC, and that is a must-win game for them. Are you confident that the Chargers can go into Kansas City and win that game?
The way the Chargers look, at the moment, and the Chiefs look at the moment, I think so. I think the Chiefs have completely lost their way, even against the Jets this past week. The amount of penalties on defense, that's not an Andy Reid team. The Chiefs, they've just completely lost the plot, it looks like. You know, I'm not sure they have enough time to regroup. I think now as the season gets into the business end, the teams that are playing the best have the most confidence. And I look at the LA Chargers, Steve, and I have to say I love the look of that team. I mean, that defensive line with Joey Bosa, I mean, that guy's a beast. I don't know how you can stop him. You almost have to double-team to stop him. Then you have the offensive weapons with Keenan Allen leading the way. For Philip Rivers, who's arguably having the best season of his career, I like them. I think they're a dark horse. I think they're a dark horse to maybe win that division and then possibly win a playoff game at home. Obviously, once they go to the freezing cold to either Pittsburgh or New England, then I think that's where it ends. But the Patriots, the overall favorite, I think, because they have the system. If they stay healthy, then I think that they'll even take the Pittsburgh Steelers down as well, no matter if it's at home or away. But that, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I think the AFC West is very, very tight. And Jacksonville Jaguars, like you said, if Blake Bortles, if someone else was the quarterback, you'd have more confidence in him just because they have such an amazing defense with Campbell leading the way. But I don't see anyone else. But let's move on to your Dolphins. I know I can't get you on the show without talking about the Miami Dolphins. Are they out of the playoff race? What have you made of them so far this year?
I think the word I would use is just a mess. I mean, the Dolphins have been a mess. I think trying to almost like struggle for identity coming into this season. We've obviously Tannehill going down, and then you've then got to decide what you want to do. And I think last season kind of dictated how you went into this season, because there was a lot of expectations about the Dolphins. Again, for me, they were another team that overachieved last season. And that going into this year was not great. With losing Tannehill, so you then have to go and try and figure out what you want to do at quarterback. For me, I think they should have just stayed with Matt Moore. They should have just ridden that one out.
So I totally agree.
What they decided to do was get Cutler out of retirement, give him $10 million. I could just imagine him sipping the pina coladas on the beach going, oh, yeah, okay, I'll take $10 million to come and play in the NFL. Yeah, because that'll be great. It's just been an absolute disaster. And then, obviously, we see them over here in London. Again, they played an awful game that day against the New Orleans Saints. There seems to be just something in the locker room that doesn't seem to be great. Ajayi's then been traded away to Philadelphia. He didn't play well for the Dolphins this season. He, of course, was excellent last season, bit of a sophomore slump. He has now gone to be a part of Philadelphia's excellent running game. It's just disappointments all over the field. Defensively, I think we're also an absolute mess. We give up so many yards per play on the defense. We're ranked 24th there. We don't stop teams on the from a defensive standpoint. We're not great offensively. We commit turnover after turnover. We've got a minus 10 turnover ratio on the season as well. So it's just a team that, for me, is where they are. They're a 5-17. They're a below average team in the NFL right now. They're not in the best division either. So you think, oh, okay, they could kind of get back to where they were last season if things went their way. But you could look over that whole team and go, disappointment. So there's very few players from me I could turn around and say, well, actually, yeah, you've actually had a good season.
Steve, can I ask, why do you support the Miami Dolphins? Like, why are they your team? I mean, maybe it's an easy answer off the back of your sort of analysis of there, but why did they become your team?
So for me, I started watching American football in the mid-80s due to my dad. My dad was an American football fan back in the days of when it was shown on TV and now it's highlights. And I first started watching Dolphins games and really loved Dan Marino. And I think if you ask most UK Dolphins fans where do they get their love for the Dolphins, they're going to bring up Dan Marino. And I think that's a good thing. But it also highlights the fact that Dan Marino has been retired so long now and Miami have been in search for one quarterback after another. Do I think Ryan Tannehill is necessarily the answer at quarterback? In some respects, no, I don't. I still think Tannehill has a lot of holes in his game. But for me, going back years, it'll be Dan Marino. Dan Marino and Mark Duper, Mark Clayton, those kind of guys. I've been a huge Dolphins fan since the mid-80s.
A disgruntled Dolphins fan. It's like music to my ears as a Patriots fan.
I was going to say, you've got to stick by your team when times are tough, but it's great when it's going well, right?
That's right. But before we move on to the NFC, let's quickly touch on Tom Brady. Oh, can we say he's the MVP so far?
I think Tom Brady is the MVP. Yeah. I mean, do you know what? For a Dolphins fan, I'll put that aside to me and talk about from an analyst.
That means a lot from a Dolphins fan.
Exactly, but I'll take my Dolphins hat off and I'll talk about it from an analyst point of view. Tom Brady, for me, continues to defy us. The way I always view Tom Brady is he makes other players better around him. And the true definition of the MVP is not necessarily the best player in the league or the best player at their position. If you took that player out of that team, what would that team be like? If you took Tom Brady out of the Patriots would be a nightmare right now, especially obviously like trading away Garoppolo as well, that they really don't have anyone else they can go to. I think that's an interesting one going forward, and that's an argument for another day. Did the Patriots make the right decision when they made that move with what they might look at going forward? But Tom Brady's still the man. Tom Brady's still performing. And, you know, for me, the way he keeps himself health-wise is only, I don't know how much of this guy can go. He could still go another 5 years, and yeah, he could still perform at the very, very top. And that, for me, is, as an analyst, I love to see it. As a Dolphins fan, it makes me physically ill.
Steve Edwards joining me here on the Season of Sports. You can find him on Twitter at TalkSportsSteven. Now, Steve, let's get into the NFC because I think the NFC is a lot more intriguing. Many more good teams with very good records, and I don't think the picture here is probably as clear as you would say in the AFC. Philadelphia leading the NFC East at 10-2. Minnesota Vikings very impressive in the NFC North at 10-2. NFC South, New Orleans Saints with that amazing running attack, 9-3. And then we have in the NFC West, we have the LA Rams at 9-3 leading the way. I think the NFC is impossible to call. I think we can say that Philadelphia will win their division. I think we can say that the Minnesota Vikings will win their division. And then the other two divisions and the wild cards are all up for grabs because there's really only a game between the Saints and the Panthers, and then you have the Falcons right behind them. And in the West, you have the Rams, the Seahawks, a game behind them. I mean, I don't know which way to go. I think from my point of view, I think that the Vikings probably are the best team. I would say if I had to put my name on, were the best team in the NFC at the moment, just the way Case Keenum's playing. I'm not sure we can trust him, but at the same time, he's been playing really well in that defense, the running attack. Philadelphia have been playing really well, so I put them at 2. And then the rest is really up for grabs. How do you see the NFC?
I tell you what, it's nice as me to hear another person that's all in on the Vikings, same as I am. It's music to my ears that you like the Vikings as well. I'm thinking it was like an interesting week in the NFL this week because you had three really key matchups in the NFC. You had the Vikings, they won at the Falcons. The Saints beat the Panthers for the second time this season. And then the Eagles then lost the Seahawks. And I think the thing I would take out of that, when you look at it from a playoff perspective, the Philadelphia Eagles have only beaten one team with a record above 500.
Yep.
Now, I know you can only beat the teams that are put in front of you, but it doesn't bode well when they start getting into these playoff games. So we really don't know what this team's going to be about when they get there. Yeah, of course, they've got a great running attack. Yeah, of course, they're excellent against the pass. But have we got 100% confidence in them? And again, you know, Carson Wentz, from a quarterback point of view, what's he going to be like come playoffs? Okay, you can do the same thing against Minnesota. Case Keenum's a guy that's coming in there. And the thing is with Keenum at the moment is he's playing mistake-free football. And I think that's what you want for this season, is that that's something they do very, very well. Something else I think the Vikings do incredibly well, they are very good defensively against on third downs. They only allow 27% of third down conversions. They're a team that puts stops, and they're a team that becomes very, very successful. This is a team that I'm excited about. It'd be interesting or not, whether they can get to the Super Bowl with the Super Bowl being in Minnesota. That's going to be an interesting home field advantage for them. Griffin's been excellent for them on the defense. 12 sacks already this season. Again, but I agree with you, it is all about Case Keenum, whether or not he can perform ultimately when we get to the playoffs. So then you start looking at other playoffs teams and their potential quarterbacks and what they're like. I think the scary team for me here, and I wasn't saying this at the start of the season because I didn't think they figured out their offense, and that is the New Orleans Saints. I think the Saints hadn't quite figured out offensively what they were going to do because of the Adrian Peterson scenario. Once they got rid of Peterson and they went to Kamara as their running back, and the way that they play the running game is they very much use running backs in terms of a pass-first, run-later scenario, which Peterson didn't fit, and that's the reason why I didn't understand how that was going to work. We know what Drew Brees is about. Offensively, they're like a juggernaut. It's whether or not their defense can step up to the task. I think they're definitely going to go in. The Rams are definitely going to go in. I think what it's ultimately going to come down to is whether or not the Falcons can get in. I don't think they can. I think the playoffs, as they are set today, is how it's going to be going forward. I think the Seahawks are going to go in. I think the Panthers are going to go in. Because I think the Falcons are now going to come unstuck because they had to beat the Vikings this weekend. They've got the Saints twice, and I think they're going to lose both of those games, and that's going to be the final nail in the coffin for them.
Well, I think Atlanta's season here in Week 14 on the Thursday night matchup will be their season. I think the season's on the line. If they don't beat New Orleans this Thursday night, we'll obviously find out when this podcast releases what the result was. But if they hadn't won that game and they don't win this game, I think the Falcons are done, and then the playoff picture becomes a little bit more clear because, like you said, they would have a lot of catching up to do. And I don't see the Panthers as inconsistent as Cam Newton can be. I think overall the Panthers are a very, very solid team, and I think they'll get in. I just think as well with New Orleans, I really like your point with the New Orleans Saints. I think at the end of the day, when you look at all of these teams, the best quarterback, arguably, and the most trusted quarterback is in New Orleans, and that's Drew Brees. You could put Russell Wilson aside with him, and, you know, I don't know how much longer Russell Wilson can carry this team, because he is literally doing everything he can to keep the Seahawks relevant and keep the Seahawks in the race, and, you know, all credit to him, really, for what he's doing. But I think when you look at New Orleans, with that running attack with Ingram and Kamara, and then you put in Drew Brees and have that as a strength as well, I think that makes them a very, very interesting team. And, you know, I think the NFC is going to be amazing. I think I like the Vikings at the moment. If they stay healthy, if they keep playing the way they are, I would love to see them play their Super Bowl in their home stadium. But, you know, I just think it's too close to call for the other teams. You know, that wild card race is going to be incredible. And at the end of the day, I know you like the Seahawks too and the like Panthers, but there could be, if the Falcons do beat the Saints, there could be three teams from that NFC South, which could be incredible.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, it's very interesting. I mean, I think, you know, this could all be thrown up in the air again if the Saints do lose to the Falcons, and then the Falcons are back in this hunt again. I mean, I know the Seahawks will look at that. They've got to go to Jacksonville. That's not going to be easy. Then they're going to be at home to the Rams. They're for me, the two tough games they've got. But then again, they then go to Dallas and play Arizona at home. So you have to think that those are going to be two wins for them. But I'll put the Seahawks at 10 wins, even if they don't beat Jacksonville and the Rams. So I just, for me, I don't think they're in trouble. The Panthers, again, at home to Minnesota, that's not going to be easy. But then they then at home to Green Bay, at home to Tampa Bay. Should we have an interesting matchup right at the end of it on the very last week of the season where the Falcons play at home to Carolina in week 17. That could be a winner-take-all game. I just have this awful feeling that Atlanta are going to be eliminated before that game even takes place.
All right, so I'm going to put you in the spot here. Who's your Super Bowl pick?
You know you're doing this because you know I've already said about the Patriots. And
yes.
I'm sure you're going to be,
I think I'm going to like part of the answer, but...
I'm going to go, because of what I've said, I'm going to go for New England against New Orleans.
Okay. So not the Vikings?
Not the Vikings. I think the Vikings, unfortunately, could very well come unstuck in a championship game at home.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go Patriots-Vikings, so just to be a little bit different, but at least we agree on the Patriots. That's the most important thing. So, but listen, Steve, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk some NFL with you. I'm so excited for the last couple months of the season. With the final playoff push and then obviously the playoffs. Can't wait for it all to unfold. And I'm sure I'll be chatting with you throughout the next couple of months. So really, big thank you for joining me here on the Season of Sports. And we hope to speak to you again very, very soon.
Welcome to The Huddle. This is obviously the part of the show where you get to put your questions, Asmir, and I get the great job of being able to read them out. Thank you to everyone who sent in questions this week. A lot of them have come via our Instagram page,
great,
which many of you may not know about. If you want to go and follow us, it is seasons_of_sports. Sounds wordier than it is, but go and check it out. We're posting on there loads, and we're always trying to get your questions via Instagram page and, of course, Facebook and Twitter, as always. So, Asmir, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, first question from Jack C. O'Neill. And Jack wants to know what the first team was that you played in your senior career and when.
So my first professional team was Portsmouth FC. I started there in the academy. I was off on a professional contract, and that started when I was 18. So that was my first professional team. I was then loaned out a few times to Belgium, La Liviere, Macclesfield in England, Yeovil, Bournemouth, Yeovil again, and then Ipswich, and obviously then I made my Premier League debut for Portsmouth. So it was a long way, but my first professional team was Portsmouth.
Not far from where we are here in Bournemouth right now.
Correct, exactly. Yeah, so I have a big connection to the South Coast.
Big connection. You You're a real Riviera player.
That's right.
Thank you, Jack, for your question. Jealous1441 wants to know your thoughts, Asmir, on the EFL Championship season this year. Who's going up?
Okay, so that's a good question. I think the Championship is such a difficult league, top to bottom. So many, everyone can beat everyone. One of the most difficult leagues to get out of, 46 games, so it's an absolute grind. At the moment, I would have to say that Wolves are obviously looking good. They're top, I think 10 points ahead of third place over Bristol City. So I hope, I think they will go up. And I think the second spot will be very interesting. Bristol City, I think, have got a good shot. They've got a good squad. They're in with a shout, maybe. But then, you know, I think ultimately Aston Villa gets a second spot. I think they have a really strong squad. A good friend of mine, John Terry, is there. So for him, it'd be nice to him to go back up with them. So I think it'll be Wolves and Aston Villa joining the Premier League.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, Dennis.
And that's in the direct qualifying. Okay. And in the playoff, I mean, that's a whole kettle of fish. If I had to pick a third team, then I'll go for Bristol City.
Bristol City. There you go, Dennis. There's your answer. Thank you for your question. And the last question this week comes from A1 Din. And they want to know, do you think there is a chance for LeBron James to become MVP in this season, or even the GOAT when all is said and done?
Now, that's a great question. Regular listeners of Season of Sports will tell you that I'm a huge LeBron James fan and, in my opinion, the greatest ever player. So that GOAT discussion is definitely on for me. What he's doing this season in his 15th year is just incredible. Michael Jordan wasn't even playing 15th year. Kobe, these guys, nobody was doing what he was. He's arguably having the best season of his career in the 15th professional season in the NBA, which is just unheard of. And I think he's the MVP every year. I think he's the best player in the league, best player on the planet. So he makes his team so much better. So I think he's technically the MVP, but, you know, with society, people, we like new things and who the hot guy is on in the league at that time. And like last year, Russell Westbrook, and you know, he was a machine, but ultimately the most valuable player in this league is LeBron James, and we know it. Everybody knows it. It's just they don't want to give him that title at the end of season. So I think, again, he'll do it. It depends how the season goes, where the Cavaliers finish. He might take a few games off to rest, which might hurt his case. But ultimately, he's the best player in the league and, in my opinion, the best player of all time.
Not a bad word to say about LeBron.
No. Not a bad word to say at all about LeBron.
Okay, and thank you so much, guys, for all of your questions. As I say, get them in. Check out our Instagram page. That's where we'll be asking for them a lot of the time, and on Twitter and Facebook as well. And thank you so much for sending them in. And that's the end of the huddle.
Absolutely, and I think that brings us to the end of the show. We've had an amazing show. Huge thank you to Steve Edwards for joining us to talk some NFL. Great of him to join us. He was really good. Really enjoyed the huddle. And our next episode will actually be a Christmas special.
We are getting into that best time of year, Asmir. Yeah, we'll throw a few bells in, maybe.
Yeah, we could throw some bells in. It'll be a review of 2017. So our first every year of the Season of Sports. So we'll give you one of those episodes during the holiday seasons while you guys are filling your faces with mince pies and roast dinners and Christmas dinners and stuff. So you can listen to our podcast. It's been a great year, and we'll look forward to that episode. But really enjoyed this one, guys. Follow us on Audio Boom, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Leave us a review, positive, negatively. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you at Christmas.